Hello, everyone, and welcome to End of Life University Podcast, where we share real talk about life and death. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Wyatt. This is episode number 239, and in just a few moments, I'll be sharing with you a solo episode on advanced directives in the time of coronavirus. But before we get to that, I want to check in and ask, how are you doing? So much has changed in the last week since the last episode. I think it has been a surreal experience for most of us, and life is drastically different now than it was just a couple of weeks ago. Most of us, I assume, are probably spending a lot more time at home. We might be working from home where we were used to going to a job every day. We might be just taking time off from our jobs. Some, I'm sure, have been laid off by employers who can't continue to run their business during this time. There are probably people who are also having to go to work every day because you work in a field or a job that requires you to be there for all the rest of us. To those of you who are still out there, whether you're working in a grocery store, working in a warehouse somewhere, delivering mail to all of us, working in a hospital in any capacity whatsoever, in order to help people get better and diagnose this virus and sustain and support all of the ones of us who are sick right now. My deepest gratitude goes out to you. Also to those working in the funeral industry, because I realize there is going to be a lot of demand on you as well for your services. And I would just want to know, my heart goes out to all of you, because I understand this may be new territory for a lot of you as well, dealing with a situation where we could be facing a large number of deaths all at once in some communities. So I just want to thank all of you who are devoting yourselves to helping all the rest of us. And for those of us who are staying at home, it's not necessarily easy also to be at home. And some of us might be facing uncertainty about our financial situation, since we might be going without a paycheck for a while. And also, we're used to being productive and busy during the day, and being at home might feel oppressive and might feel depressing to many people who are not used to having this much time, but also feeling penned up and closed in at home. So I just wanted to check in with all of you. I hope all of you are doing well, and I'm sending so much love out to every one of you, whether you're at home, whether you're working, maybe you're a caregiver taking care of someone at home and having the added stress and fear that your loved one will get exposed to the virus and get sick. For all of you, I'm sending just my deepest love and concern and compassion. And I wanted to share just a few thoughts of some things we could all be doing, those of us who are at home, and even those of you who are still out there having to work. Maybe some of these suggestions will be helpful to you also. But I think if it's at all possible, we should each try to spend some time outside every day. If there's sunshine, for sure, go out in the sun, breathe the fresh air, feel the warmth of the sun, even if it's a cold day or it's snowing like it is today where I live. If you're able to just go out, even for a few moments, and breathe the fresh air, or maybe the best you can do is open a window and feel the rush of air coming in, I think that's really healthy for us. But also to connect with nature while you're doing that, if you can. When you're outside, look around for trees, flowers, grass, any element of nature that you can find to connect to, and breathe deeply with the natural world around us. Somehow for me, as I've spent time outdoors, I have a sense that right now, this incredible liminal space that we're in, where we're all waiting in uncertainty, none of us knows what will happen, but most of us have had to pull back from the busyness of our lives. We have been forced into to a pause, a very long pause in our lives that we probably would not have taken on our own, but here we are. We've been pushed toward this, so here we are resting a bit, slowing down a bit, having more time for contemplation, and I feel that this slowing down of ours is actually giving our planet a rest as well, and allowing our planet to heal and recover from some of the demands that we place on her. So as I connect with nature, I have a sense that our waiting and holding space and being willing to live in uncertainty, possibly for many weeks, is actually what's necessary. It's as if we're watching our earth as well, as our earth is a patient and is working toward recovery and healing every day. So as we're contemplating the people we love and know who are dealing with illness, we might even incorporate the earth in that as well as another patient who is working toward recovery. And the fact that we're willing to sit back and be quieter for a few moments and be contemplative, I think it's helpful to us. It's helpful to all the patients that we're holding space for. It's helpful to our planet. So that's the mindset that I'm holding right now in this space. And I hope it's helpful to you as well to think of it that way. So again, I'm suggesting if you can go outside every day, spend a little bit of time connecting with nature, if possible, go for a walk, because exercise is extremely helpful when you're in a time like this of uncertainty and waiting. Exercise, and I think walking particularly, is helpful because it's very mindful and it helps you get into a state of mindfulness, which allows you to relax more, but also to get in touch with your deeper thoughts. So if you're able, get outside, go for a little walk every day if you possibly can. I also suggest that you spend some quiet time every day in solitude by yourself, if you can. I know some of you are caring for children or for other loved ones or perhaps patients in your home, and it's very hard to find quiet time or space. But even if you can just spend 5 or 10 minutes where you're alone by yourself, maybe you have a cup of tea, maybe you're looking out the window or listening to music, and you simply sit and slow down your breathing and become still. That, I think, is what the world needs more than anything right now, as an antidote to all of our frantic rushing around in life and overconsumption, is just stillness from us. So take time. Maybe the stillness you utilize when you're outdoors, like I suggested, connecting with nature, or maybe you take some time indoors to just be quiet for a short while. And you could use that time to meditate or pray or simply be in contemplation or simply just be, just sit and just observe what is around you. Next, try to bring some beauty into your life, intentional beauty every day. So maybe it is listening to music, like I already suggested. If there are certain types of music that really touch you and inspire you, try to listen to a little music every day. Look at artwork if you can. Read poetry or literature. Maybe watch videos. There are a lot of videos on YouTube that are inspirational. Also, some that have beautiful music and pictures and even word on them. So you can inspire yourself in many ways through some of those videos. And also try to stay connected with others, your loved ones and friends in particular, that you maybe can't connect with physically right now, but try to take a little bit of time every day to reach out by telephone, or I've been using Skype and Zoom to stay in touch with people because you can see each other face to face, which is really fun. And just have a chat and just say, how are you doing? What's going on? I've been talking with my kids about what are you cooking today? Because we're all doing a lot more cooking at home and needing to be creative sometimes with the ingredients we're able to find at the grocery store. So that's been a fun conversation, just every day sharing what we're making and giving each other ideas. So find creative ways of staying connected and every day reach out to someone, anyone, just to check in, just to say, how are you doing? Also be kind. Be kind to others that you see. If you're out in the world, if you go to the store, if you're driving, be kind to others. Assume that everyone else is in this same space of not knowing that we're all in right now. We're all going through the same thing at the same time, which is really fascinating. It's one of the rare times in our lifetimes that this has ever happened. I can't recall another time except perhaps 9/11, but this time it's our entire planet, our entire world. Everyone on the planet is going through this at the same time. So as much as you can, wherever you are, remember to be kind. Smile at people, say hello, look them in the eye. You don't need to violate the 6 feet of social distancing to reach out and let someone know, I care about you. So be kind whenever you can, and be kind particularly to yourself as well. Recognize this space we're in, this time, is a chance for you to heal old wounds that you have, a chance for you to learn how to love yourself more, a chance for you to perhaps open your mind and heart to creativity or to something new that is going to be coming in your life in the future. So be kind to yourself as well. And then my last suggestion, which I recommend all the time, is journaling. And last week I gave you a journal prompt, right now I'm okay because, with the idea that you write down all the reasons why you are okay in this moment, even though you don't know what the future holds, even though you don't know if you might get sick or someone you love will get sick, even if you are sick right now, in this moment, right now, you are also okay. And it's a way to think of the reasons why right now I'm okay. I have enough food to eat. I have a loving partner at my side. I have friends to chat with every day. I have work to do that's meaningful, whatever it is. If in every day you can write down a few things, a few reasons why you're okay. And I suggest keep doing that on an ongoing basis, because that'll keep you in a state of gratitude, but also in more positive energy. It pulls you away from fear when you contemplate the reasons why things actually aren't that bad, why you actually don't need to be afraid right now. So it'll help you keep your focus on the positive. But I want to give you a new task for your journal for this week. And what I thought of is to have you write a story. This is from your own life, a story about a time when you feel you were at your very best. Think back to some situation you were in, or sometime when you feel the best part of you was operative. You know, it may be a time when you were courageous, or you were very kind, or creative, or you did something nice for another person. And when you felt from your heart that this is the best of me, I was at my best on that day when that happened, the way I reacted or handled it, or what I chose to do, that was my best. So I want you to write a story about that as something you can read back to yourself, but also contemplate a little bit, like, about who am I when I'm at my best? Who am I when I'm operating on all cylinders, as they say, and when I'm doing my very best work, and when I'm the most authentic and genuine, the most loving, the most kind, the most generous, as I said, the most creative, any of those things, whatever comes to your mind, a situation you were in or an event that happened in your life at any time in your life, maybe even when you were a child. But just write the story, describe in your story what was happening at the time, who was there, and how the events unfolded. And then describe yourself. What was it that was operative in you at that moment that seemed like your very best and highest self? So write that story, and you might want to think about it for a day or two before you write it down, to choose whatever you feel was the best story that you have to tell. And then after that, as you reread the story a few times and think it through, make a list of just a few of the qualities that you feel you exhibited when you were at your very best in that situation. What are some of your very best qualities? So I want you to really appreciate yourself, appreciate what you're capable of, and appreciate things that you have done in the past. Now, all of us have done things that were not our best selves, and all of us probably carry a lot of guilt and remorse and regret about things we've done in the past when we were not operating from our best and highest self. And unfortunately, most of us spend most of our time thinking about those things and regretting the things we wish we hadn't done. And we may not give ourselves enough credit for the times when we were our best and highest self. So spend some time thinking about it. Be kind to yourself. Don't judge yourself. Just think back to a moment or a day or a time when you feel the best of you was in charge. And then write down some of the qualities that you feel you demonstrated during that episode. Now, it might be that more and more ideas come to you during the week as you think about this. You might have other examples of being your best self. And so you can keep writing about it every day and you can keep thinking about that story. But I really want all of us to be in touch with who we are as our highest self, our best self, our true self. And this is a great time to actually, when we've stepped out of the routine and the mainstream of life, to actually have enough time to contemplate that and think about ourselves and get in touch with who we really are. Okay, so that's the writing idea for this week for your journal. I did want to share with you just a couple of fun things. In this time when we are surrounded by a lot of stories that are frightening and fearful, there's a lot of panic going on in our society, but if you're looking for it, there's amazing beauty happening at the same time. It's unfolding everywhere. And honestly, a lot of it for me, I'm discovering through social media, which I've been a little frustrated and unhappy with social media over the last year or 2 years, actually. But right now, I feel as we're all going through this time of social distancing and more isolation, I feel like social media is a real benefit to us. The networking that's possible and the connection that's possible if we use it in the right way. So when I go on social media, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, I ignore things that I can sense right away have negativity in them or hatred or are just trying to spark fear in people. I don't read those. I don't look at those. I'm just scanning all the time. I'm looking for beautiful pictures, looking for music, looking for poetry. Oh my gosh, I've read some very beautiful poetry that's been posted on Facebook in the last couple of weeks. And so I just wanted to share with you, though, a few resources. I'm going to put links to these on the show notes for this episode at eolupodcast.com. And this is episode number 239. So look for that. So one was I found a link where you can download coloring books from all sorts of art museums and different organizations. And for free, you can download pages that you can color at home, which is a really fun way. I actually love coloring. It's very relaxing, but it's also creative and it's colorful. And you don't have to be able to draw yourself. You can just choose the colors you want to fill in the spaces. For a person like me who's not very confident about making art, coloring is a good way to feel like I'm being creative and to fulfill that impulse. So I found a site where you can download coloring books. Another site allows you to take virtual museum tours. And this is fantastic. Museums from all over the world have virtual tours you can take for free. And they actually just on video, you watch it and you're walking through the museum looking at beautiful works of art. That's very cool. Also, some of the national parks here in the US have virtual tours as well. I think there are 5 of them. And you can take a tour through the park. How fun is that? Like you get to go on a little vacation while you're on lockdown in quarantine. Another thing I saw, the Seattle Symphony is offering free concerts online that you can just live stream and listen to. And there's another site that has famous works of art that you can actually download for free. So you can have some of these beautiful paintings on your computer that you can look at if you want to, because I had mentioned before how lovely it is to be able to look at artwork. And so that might be something you could do. And then in my explorations on Facebook too, I've been finding some great posts by people I know. And I mentioned a couple of them have posted really beautiful poetry. I also have a friend who is living in Florence. She's a dual citizen of the US and Italy. She's living in Florence, Italy right now on lockdown in Florence. Italy is going through a very severe, terrible time right now of rapidly increasing cases and deaths from coronavirus. But the people of Italy are amazing. And she's been posting videos where she lives in an apartment building, and she's been posting videos of people on their balconies playing music together, singing together. One day she posted a video where the entire city at noon gathered together on their balconies to applaud for the healthcare workers in their community. And you could literally hear it echoing all over. She recorded it and it was beautiful. I also saw something similar that took place in Geneva, Switzerland. And so how wonderful is that? People are finding a way to reach out to their healthcare providers to say, thank you. We appreciate you. So what an amazing way to stay connected. Now, I happen to live in a remote place where I don't even have any neighbors around me, so I could go out and applaud or sing on my balcony, but there would be no one else there to join in with me. But I love watching the little videos that my friend posts from Florence. So I just wanted to mention that it's fun and it's inspiring. And I think each one of us can post things, what's happening in our life. So here's another thing I saw, the idea of putting our Christmas lights back up outside our house so that we have lights on through the night and even the daytime to inspire other people, and as a message of solidarity and hope that there is light in the darkness. And I love that. I love Christmas lights anyway, so I love that idea. And finally, another friend I have inspired people to post a YouTube version of their favorite song. And so this whole group of people have been sharing music with one another, and you can simply go in and listen to what other people have chosen as their favorite song to listen to. That's really fun. And then finally, on Instagram, if you happen to have Instagram and go on there, there's a lot happening there as well, because Instagram has been having a lot of live videos recorded. John Legend and Coldplay have done Instagram free pop-up concerts through Instagram where they sing for us just to help everyone who's out there in isolation. Also, a group that I love, Music Travel Love, they're hosting weekly free music concerts where they're just in their living room playing music for us to listen to and chatting with us. And then Anthony Perowski from the show Queer Eye on Netflix, he's the food and wine expert of the Queer Eye group. Anthony is hosting a quarantine cooking show, which is really fun. So he's showing us how to cook simple meals from ingredients that we might have at home already or the things we might be able to find at our supermarket. It's especially helpful, though, because a lot of people I know with very busy lives may not cook at home that much. And now, at least where I live, all the restaurants are closed. So we're not getting takeout. We're not going out to eat very much. We're doing a lot more cooking at home. And it's really fun to have Anthony's inspiration on Instagram and just step-by-step guidance for how to cook certain foods. So those are just some of the resources I found that I wanted to share with you. Again, there will be links to all of those on the show notes at eolupodcast.com. Then finally, I wanted to share a couple of messages that I have received in the last week, which I'm very grateful for. One from Candace Kerber in Bend, Oregon. She writes, "Your podcast, Living a Death-Aware Life, inspired me to start my own support group. We met for 4 weeks exploring the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual aspects of death. The final week, we were to create a vision board of our end of life inspired by another podcast, but the virus hit and we've had to postpone this final meeting. This group has been the most fulfilling thing I've ever done, and the women who participate say it's been life-changing." And so I was so excited and thrilled to read this. This makes me so happy because I've said it over and over. One of my goals for this podcast is to inspire people to be creative in their own communities and find ways to spread the message about end-of-life issues and get people talking in their own communities. So Candace, you did it. Thank you so much for writing to me and telling me about this group that you started. And I hope that you serve as an inspiration for others out there. Right now, our meetings have to be virtual for a while, but we could all be using our quiet time at home to think of what we might want to do in the future when we're back in full swing and the isolation time is over. And maybe we can all get creative and come forward with ideas for something we could put together. We have the time now, time to brainstorm and time to actually work on it while we're sitting at home. So again, thanks so much, Candace, for sharing that. Jane also wrote after last week's episode, "Thanks so much for your comments on the virus situation and the things you're doing for all of us who have become newly housebound. I'm very glad you're there." Thank you, Jane. I'm housebound with you right here. So good to hear that you were listening and that it made a difference for you. And Wendy from LA and Mexico wrote, "It was interesting to hear two holistically oriented women doctors together, you and your guest from last week. I enjoyed this program." So thanks to all of you for sharing those comments and those of you who listen every week. It means a lot to me that you're here. And again, if you want to support the podcast in other ways, please do write to me. I'm always happy to hear from you and hear what you're thinking and what's going on for you, especially right now, how you're coping with the coronavirus. And then also, if you want to join our team on Patreon, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/EOLU and learn about how to sign up and make a monthly contribution to keep the podcast on the air and get some bonuses there. So after all of that talking, now I'll move on to the main topic for today. Although talking about the coronavirus was part of this topic, kind of a preparation for talking a little bit about advanced directives. And I think it's important that we revisit this subject right now because we're in a very dynamic and changing situation, and it's really different than anything medically that we have faced in our lifetimes. And so I think it's good to reconsider advanced directives and take a look at them in light of the coronavirus and the stress that it's putting on our medical system, but also to reevaluate our own choices and how we're thinking about things. So the first point I wanted to make for those of us who have elderly loved ones, particularly if they're living in a long-term care facility, it's very, very important to make sure that our loved ones have written advance directives and, if possible, a pulsed form to state their wishes for the end of life. And the reason for that is that it's our oldest population who is being hit the hardest by this virus, who becomes the sickest and who is requiring the most aggressive treatment, although individuals of all ages are getting very sick from the disease, but there's a higher percentage of our elderly who are being hit very hard by the virus. So I think it's really important that we have a conversation with our elderly loved ones and make sure we know what their wishes are, make sure that they have it in writing. And particularly, I'm thinking if they would choose comfort care over aggressive treatment. And it's a hard conversation to have and a hard thing to contemplate because we're facing a virus that's so aggressive and so hard on older people, especially those who have a lot of other underlying illness, that it really is a life or death situation. And some of the statistics we're receiving from other countries, which may not be as accurate here, have shown about 15% of the very old die from coronavirus. Other studies have shown a smaller percentage, as low as 5%, but we feel that it is a fairly high mortality rate for the very old. And so even those very old who receive aggressive treatment have a fairly high chance of dying in spite of the treatment. So that's just the reality that we need to look at. Another aspect of this, if we study Italy, which right now is being hit the hardest of any other country on the planet, Italy also has the highest percentage of elderly citizens. We're hearing reports from doctors who are saying they're running out of ventilators and they're having to make very tough choices with patients of who gets the ventilator or not. And from some doctors in Seattle who are on the front lines in the intensive care unit at a hospital there, they've told us that when patients come in and they have an advance directive that says comfort measures only, it's very helpful to them. Because rather than doing aggressive treatment that may be futile and not make a difference for that patient, they are able to admit them to a comfort care ward where they're well cared for and receiving medications for their symptoms, but not being placed on a ventilator. So these are really tough conversations to have, but I think it's important for us to look at that. If we have very frail and ill elderly loved ones, the chances of them surviving even with aggressive treatment are not good. And so it is important that we understand if they would rather just have comfort care in the first place anyway, if that would be our loved one's preference, it's important that we have it in writing, that we have it in the living will and advance directives and a pulsed form so that the healthcare providers know right away how to proceed in that case. So also, if you happen to be the healthcare proxy for a loved one, it's very important that you thoroughly know what their wishes would be and that you know you could follow through and carry out their wishes. In a circumstance, if you have a loved one who has said, "I only want comfort measures," will you be okay with supporting that choice in the moment if you are asked the question? It's important that you know for sure what your person wants, the person that you're advocating for, and also that you have asked yourself, what will I do if my person gets critically ill with coronavirus? What are their wishes, and can I advocate for their wishes if it's for comfort care only? Knowing that if the person doesn't receive aggressive treatment, there's a greater likelihood that they will die without the aggressive treatment. but there's also a high likelihood they would die with the aggressive treatment as well. So I'm being very blunt and frank here about it, that imagine that you would find yourself in a situation where a quick decision has to be made. Should we put this person on a ventilator or not, or send them to the comfort care unit instead? Do you know what you would do? Do you know what your person wants? And do you know that you could advocate for what that person wants and make the choice that that person would choose for themselves? Do you know that you could carry that out? I think it's really important to think it through, because from what I'm understanding, from what doctors have been telling us, once patients are sick enough to get admitted to the hospital, they can tend to deteriorate very rapidly, even within 24 hours. And decisions have to be made in the moment very quickly about whether or not to move on to a ventilator. And so imagine this, that you could be in a situation where you were asked by the healthcare providers for your input as they're making that choice. Do you have enough information from your loved one to know what they want? And have you gotten yourself okay and comfortable with what your loved one wants so that you could advocate for it and agree to it? So I'm just suggesting that this is a really important time when we have thought through these issues. Now, God willing, God provide, none of us will have to make those choices every day, praying and sending out all of my positive energy that none of us will have to be in that situation. But I think it's important that we have contemplated it and thought it through in case it does arise for us. And those of us who are already really comfortable talking about these issues, which I assume if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are, I think we can be of help and be supportive to our friends and loved ones who are maybe not so comfortable. We might hear of a friend who's in a situation with a loved one, and maybe we can reach out with support and say, if you want to talk to me about this, you know, I'm happy to listen to what you're going through. So whether or not we ourselves will ever have to make these choices, I think it's important for us to think it through and have a game plan in case someone we know has to go through a choice like this so that we can be of support. Another little tip I just wanted to mention, if you do happen to have an elderly loved one who's at home or in a long-term care facility, remember, if that person does get coronavirus, visitation is very, very limited, if at all, because that person is kept in isolation. Also, because our hospitals have a shortage of personal protective equipment, they may not be able to allow visitors to come in because they can't sacrifice the gowns and the eye shields and things that would be required. The healthcare providers need to save them for themselves. So visitation may be difficult if it can happen at all. So be prepared for that and think about ways to stay connected. Maybe it's a time to get your loved one an iPad that has Skype on it, and you might be able to teach your loved one just how to open the iPad, click on the Skype app so that you could Skype and actually see one another and have a conversation. So I just wanted to mention that, to think ahead, that for all of our training and our desires and our wishes to be with our loved ones at the bedside, coronavirus changes everything because of its infectivity. And so we may not be able to be there with our loved ones at a time when we want to be there. So think ahead. Are there some things that you could do that would help you stay connected? And also, even if your loved one is not sick, to keep them well, it may be really helpful to have everyone be able to connect with them via an iPad and Skype, rather than coming to visit and check on them so that they're not exposed to as much illness. So I just wanted to put that thought out there of something you could consider. And then lastly, I think it's good for each one of us to think about our own advance directives. Now, I have a living will that says I do not want mechanical ventilation. And it says, in the case that I am terminally ill and I would die without mechanical ventilation. I still don't want it. However, coronavirus is a little bit different because being on a ventilator is the way that people are able to recover from coronavirus who get severely ill with it, especially people who are relatively healthy to begin with. There is a fairly good chance of survival after being on a ventilator. And so the ventilator is part of the treatment for the disease. So I just want you to consider that and actually talk that through with your loved ones and whoever is going to be your healthcare proxy in case you're not able to speak for yourself. Now, I do believe that a lot of the frontline doctors out there who are treating this virus are trying to have goals of care conversations with patients as they get admitted, as they come in, to talk to them very honestly about these issues. But this is another thing to think through. Is this a situation when I would say yes to a ventilator for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks to help me recover so that I could survive, even though in other situations I would not want to be put on a ventilator? So just some tricky things to think about here, something new and a little different than what we've dealt with before. So I wanted to put that out there so that each one of us who has been responsible and completed our living will and other advanced directives to think about, does coronavirus change things for us or not? And if it does change things, then I think it's important that we might want to modify our living will to state something to that effect, or let our healthcare proxy know, or be prepared to have a conversation with our doctors about that. So those are my ideas about advanced directives and why we need to rethink them right now. And I hope it's helpful. I don't in any way mean to frighten you, but I want to talk really honestly about this disease. Now, the vast majority of people who have coronavirus will have only mild disease. Many will not even have any symptoms at all. So the chances that any one of us will have to deal with these issues are small. Yet it's important for all of us to be realistic and be honest and think ahead and think about it if it should come to us in our lives. It's part of what I always say, being ready for whatever might come your way, is simply go through the process of thinking it through. If it were me, if this did happen for me, what choice would I make? And I think being prepared for possible scenarios is one of the ways that we can keep fear at bay, because we're not shutting out of our mind possibilities that we don't want to think about. We're allowing ourselves to think about things that we hope won't happen, but at least having thought it through and having made some potential decisions in advance, or having a sense of what we might want and what we might choose, I think it helps us. I think it can give us some peace of mind and put us at ease. And again, my hope and prayer is that none of this advice I'm trying to share will need to be utilized in your life at all. So I'm putting out there that each one of us will stay safe and well and stay in our little cocoons for right now and protect other people in just in case we're an asymptomatic carrier, and that we will just keep growing in love and compassion and kindness. So thanks again for listening and being part of this little community around this podcast. I appreciate this opportunity to share with you. And just remember, I'm thinking about you all week. Oh, also remember, I'll have a bonus episode every Friday called Love Over Fear, Stories for Precarious Times, where I just tell a story. So on Fridays, watch for those bonus episodes to come up. And if you don't use one of the podcast apps like Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher Radio to listen to podcasts, you can go to the website eolupodcast.com and scroll down, and you'll see the Love Over Fear episodes there as a bonus episode, Love Over Fear, Stories for Precarious Times. And those are just short little 10 or 15 minute stories that I tell, but stories to inspire and touch your heart. So check those out as well. And I'll be back next Monday with another episode. And until then, be kind to yourself. Remember that we're here for love. So face your fear. Don't run away from it. Be ready for anything, whatever life might bring to you. And then just sit back and love each and every moment that you get to have here in this amazing life on this beautiful planet. Bye-bye.